God has raised up many churches through these 20 centuries. Many of them started like Jerusalem and ended in Babylon. Christian history is full of such stories. Even the day in the first century, the apostles built churches that were holy before God like Jerusalem. But by the time it comes to the end of the first century, you read in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, so many of those churches have drifted away. They just got a name that they are alive. They got the doctrine, they got the singing, but they don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They don't have purity and zeal for God. Compromise. And the Lord says, I'll remove the lampstand from your midst. I'll de-recognize you as a church. He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I'll remove your name from the book of life. These are some of the warnings in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. What type of churches? Churches planted by the apostles. So it happens, you know. And when Moses came down, he saw all this. It says in verse 19 of Exodus 32. You know, Moses thought there's war going on when he heard all that sound. And Exodus 32 in verse 19, Moses came near the camp and he saw the golden calf. They were worshipping money. They were not worshipping money in Egypt. Now they started worshipping money and dancing. And Moses' anger burned. And he took those tablets which God had written with his own hand, 10 commandments, and he shattered it at the foot of the mountain, saying, why should I give you these 10 commandments? You bunch of people, you have no gratitude to God for what he's done for you. It's something like Jesus getting angry when he saw people in the temple worshipping money and taking money from the poor, selling doves and sheep. So he took the calf and burnt it. Just see what he did. Moses was such a strong man. He took the calf, verse 20, and burnt it with fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and said, now you children of Israel, drink this water, this calf that you worshipped. Is that cruel? He was a man of God. And then Moses said to his co-worker, why did you do this? That you brought such a great sin upon them. And Aaron said, don't get angry. The people said, make a God for us. And he puts the blame on others. This is a habit of Adam. God asks him something, he points at his wife. Moses asks Aaron, he points at the people. Ah, it is these people, not me. And I told them to the golden. And listen to this. This is interesting. Verse 24. They gave me all the gold. Verse 24, middle. And I threw it into the fire. And out came this calf. Wow. What a miracle that is. As if he thought Moses would be so stupid to believe that. I threw all the gold and out came a calf. This business of self-justification has been there from the time of Adam. Did you eat the tree? Lord, my wife gave it to me. In Jesus' day, he said, you are those who justify yourself before men, but that is an abomination before God. Aaron was like that. And the people were out of control. And then Moses said, is anybody here on the Lord's side? Anybody in this camp? And out of all those 2 million people, the sons of Levi said, yes, we are on the Lord's side. Then he called those sons of Levi and said, I want you to go into the camp and don't spare anybody. Take your sword, verse 27. Idol worshippers must be killed. That's the law in those days. Kill every man, even if it's your brother. Don't spare him. He may be your good friend. Don't spare him. Every man his friend and every man his neighbor. Don't look at his face and be partial. Take your sword and chop off his head. You think that was easy? Would you have done it if you were there? I mean, in the new covenant we don't do it, but that was old covenant. But if the Lord said, you got to go and do that, chop off the head of these people who worship the idols and purify the camp, would you do it? Or would you be compassionate? Say, no, let's be merciful, more merciful than God. That's been the tragedy of Christendom in 2,000 years. People don't know God. They don't know the holiness of God. And the sons of Eli did that. And have you ever, and you say, it says in verse 29, dedicate yourself to the Lord that he may bestow a blessing upon you. You know, why did God choose the sons of Levi to be the priests? Have you ever wondered? That is the greatest honor. Out of the 12 tribes, he didn't just pick lots and say, okay, Levi. No. In this moment of testing, only the tribe of Levi stood with the Lord. God said, okay, you guys will be the priests. Throughout your generations, your children and grandchildren, they'll be blessed because you stood for the Lord and you did not compromise. You will be the priest. So remember that the priesthood was given not arbitrarily without any reason. It was because they took a stand for the Lord. What we learn from that is, you know, this already happened once. They came out of Egypt and then they drifted away with all the gold. That's why Moses warned them later on in Deuteronomy 8. But one very interesting thing we see, that after this one event, and because of this very strict action that Moses took, you know, chopping out people's heads, and a number of people died that day, for the rest of their wilderness journey, for nearly 40 years, they never worshipped idols. It's very interesting. One strict treatment and they never worshipped idols again. If Moses had been lenient here, they'd have been worshipping idols for the next 40 years. But now they were going to enter Canaan. And now it is going to be comfortable again. That's when Deuteronomy said, be careful. Now this struggle and time of poverty and struggle is over and you're going to come to a comfortable life. Be careful. That's the time you will backslide.